go. What's up, guys, and welcome back to the podcast. I'm Frankie.
And I'm Alex.
And together we are FNA Van Life.
This is the show where every week we bring you news from the nomadic community or interviews with other nomads so that you can know what it's really like to live life on the road.
And life on the road for us is kind of wild because now we have a little baby girl.
Yeah, so we have to figure out what that's going to look like. We're working on our 1985 Toyota Sunraider to have that all finished up. But I don't think that that's going to be our family travel rig.
No, definitely not. I'm just going to go out there and just say that because I don't feel comfortable with putting our baby in the back of that rig while we're driving. It does have seatbelts, but it's not really like properly hooked up to the chassis and so on and so forth. But we're going to have to figure out what life is going to look like for us, and that will be a later podcast. But today we have a couple on who has, well, one of them is kind of in their second, you know, stint of travel life and living life on the road. And he now roped his new lady and wife into it. It's really exciting to see other people go through their different stages of
it. I totally agree. Victoria and Rich, also known as GF Explorers, gluten-free
is what she was going for. But yeah, gluten-free explorers, they're on just their own path. And I think it's kind of cool that they're traveling around. He gets to eat kind of anything he wants, but she has to stick to this really solid, like, gluten-free diet. So I think it's really cool what they talk about later in the podcast.
Yeah, and they share a ton of words of wisdom for people who are looking to kind of set up your life on the road and what that's going to look like for you. Obviously, they have a beautiful RV that they're living in, but the way that they got into that beautiful RV is really unique. And I think that for anybody planning their van life adventures, this podcast is going to be full of wisdom and tips and advice for to make sure that you get the perfect rig for you.
And not only that, but also there's advice on how to work on the road in this one as well, which I didn't expect to get that from this podcast. But when you listen to it, you're going to realize that there's so many different types of jobs that you could do. And she even offers one to you.
Yeah, it's amazing. I feel like every time we talk to somebody new, we learn a new way to make money on the road. And I know that that's like people's biggest fear sometimes, or the biggest challenge or hurdle that you have to figure out is, how am I going to pay for van life? How am I going to pay for RV living? And really, there are so many options, things that you wouldn't ever even think of unless you're talking to other nomads and they're sharing what they're doing, because there's so many unique different opportunities for making money on the road.
And if you are making money on the road, you could really start to camp more in campgrounds and stay in places that are more luxury, where you'll get like a swimming pool and, you know, all the different amenities and places to dump and all that stuff. So making money on the road is pretty important, I feel like.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess if you're just going to go for a week or two and you've got a chunk of cash, cool. But if you want to make it like a long-term lifestyle that you can enjoy for years to come, you definitely have to figure out how you're going to pay for that month to month.
With all that being said, let's jump right into this podcast with Victoria and Rich.
Today on the show, we've got Victoria and Richard. We're super excited to talk to you guys. So why don't you take us back to the beginning of your GF Explorers? How did you guys kind of like get on the road, and where did this idea of traveling come from?
It's all his fault.
It's my fault.
It's his fault. Yeah. Do you want to start us off?
Yeah, so I actually, in a previous life, all the way back to 2005, was born and raised in Michigan, had the idea to leave Michigan. We like to call this the BV period, before Victoria.
Yeah.
So I actually full-timed in a Class A diesel pusher from 2005 till about almost 2008, so not quite 3 years, about 2.5 years, and then landed in Denver, of all places, and so landed there for a job primarily. So the idea wasn't to full-time for a very long time. The idea was to full-time and find the place that was not Michigan to live for a few years. So obviously life changes, things change, and I met Victoria in 2012.
Yeah. 12, 13,
somewhere around there. And the rest was history. We ended up getting married in 2015 And we first started having the discussion about going full time. What about?
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
I think the first RV show that you took me to was in Denver, 2018, or I think it was 17 or 18, but whatever. Yeah. It was the late teens there. And at the time, we had a business in Denver. We had a commercial gluten-free bakery, hence the GF in our name. And we were selling the restaurants and grocery stores. And that's where all of our time, energy, and money was going. And we were going to be the next big thing, which obviously we're out on the road. It didn't work out. And when that didn't work out, it was quite devastating. I mean, because we had put everything into it, and matters were out of our control in many ways why it didn't work. And so we were just looking at each other going, you know, what are we going to do next? And right. And so we thought, hey, well, we've been thinking about this RV thing. So in right around when COVID hit, which is the business closed a month before COVID hit in March of 20, we put the plan together. So we're going to do this in 2 years. We're leaving. We've got 2 years to plan and get ready to go. And then April of 2022, we were living in an RV.
Yeah, and that coincided with our son graduating from high school and moving on to college. So kind of the stars and the moon aligned, and it allowed us to
sell it
all and go on the road.
Yep, and we've been loving it ever since. It's been 17 months now.
Yep,
that's awesome. How does your son feel about it? I know he went off to college and whatnot, but I'm sure he probably has his opinion, you know, on what you guys are doing now.
Yeah, it was interesting. He thought he was going to college, but he decided college wasn't his thing, his jam. And so we had already put all the plans in place. And so he knew we were leaving, you know, and it was a good life moment for him that he had this decision that he wanted to live on his own, because he was spending part time between us and his father, and he wanted to really be away from him and live on his own. And so he made that one decision thinking that's exactly, you know, nothing's going to change. And then he decides he doesn't want college. And so we're leaving. And so he's left in Denver, you know, to fend for himself, which he has done really, really well. He's got his own apartment. He's got a great job. He's got a girlfriend. Everything
he
is
gets
going
to come
well.
Visit us.
Yeah, and we fly him out to where we are for like once a quarter or so, because we all miss each other. That's probably one of the hardest things about full timing is being away from your family. But he thinks it's cool. I'm very happy. I think he's like, hey, my parents are cool. You know. Or at least he tells us that. Yeah, and I think that it's probably something I wouldn't be surprised if sometime in his life he does something like that. But for us, it's a good example to show him he can do whatever he wants, be whoever he wants. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to do what society thinks or tells you.
You don't have to follow the rule book.
Right, exactly. And that's why we're out here, is we're living unconventionally and intentionally, and with no apologies, because there's some people we say what we do and they're like, oh, I could never do that.
Yeah, they look at you cross-eyed when you tell them that you drag around your house with you.
Yeah, but I will say the vast majority of people, and especially our clients, they're all like they're just so interested, like, oh my God, how do you do that? How do you pick campsites? So they always have tons of questions. So I think for most people, they would love to do what we're all doing, but there's too many of them that
are afraid.
They're afraid. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So do you want to tell everybody who's listening what you are, what the house looks like that you're dragging around?
Yeah. yes. We are not camping, glamping,
or doing without.
We both work. We run a marketing company, and so we spend 8 to 10 hours a day in the rig. So we knew that we had to have something that lived more like a small apartment than an RV. We are in a Van Lee Velano 394 RK. It's 43 feet of goodness. His name is Howie. And Howie is pulled by our F-350 dually named Stella. And we're just one big happy family.
Yep. And it is definitely not camping. We have a full-size dishwasher, all full-size residential appliances, full-size washer and dryer. We really wanted it to live more like a home than an RV, like we are on vacation. So that was kind of one of our criteria. We knew going in that we were kind of going full bore.
Oh yeah.
So you can bring all your clothes, all your activities, all your things. You don't have to pick and choose. You have everything right there with you.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. And we don't have to live on a daily basis. Like, oh, we didn't bring that with us because it wouldn't fit. Cause then we would feel like, you know, we were on vacation, which we are definitely not on vacation because we work. And I mean, we brought as much as we could without going overweight, of course, because we have the YouTube channel where we mostly do cooking videos. We do some RV lifestyle videos. So we have, you know, we have like a smoker, a grill, a pizza oven.
Flat,
we have like
a flat top.
Yeah, a Blackstone. So, I mean, we have all that. And then I also paint and I have my easel and my paints and stuff. So we needed a rig that was going to carry all that stuff. So we love our Van Lee and it's very, very, very homey.
Yeah, I feel like the first thing I noticed when we got on the video call here was the beautiful fireplace roaring behind you and the full-size couch. Like, it looks very much like a living room that you would find in any home.
The artwork on the wall, you know, definitely. Yeah. If you were like, hey, what are they in right now? I'd be like, they're in a house.
Oh, well, that's a great compliment.
And that was definitely a conscious choice on our end. You know, there are tons of different ways to do this lifestyle. And I think one of the things we try and talk about in our channel is there's no right way or wrong way to do this lifestyle. It's like, you have to do what fits right for your life. Like Victoria said earlier, we spend 8 to 10 hours a day inside this thing, working and running a business. So it's very hard to do, you know, it's not that we dislike camper vans or
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at armorall.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Class Cs or, you know, small travel trailers. I mean, to even have less stuff would sometimes actually be kind of nice.
Yeah.
But it's what works and fits for our lifestyle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anything smaller wouldn't work for us. Yeah, the way we're living right now. I mean, if we were retired, it'd be a totally different situation. We wouldn't have a rig anywhere near this big. I don't think.
No, because it's a beast to drive. So
yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, we are our total length with the dually and the trailer is 62 feet. In a full-size semi is 66 feet, I think.
Give or take.
We're about 5 feet short of a full semi truck and trailer.
Wow. That was actually going to be my next question, because even at 43 feet, just for the trailer, it's a lot of machine to like move around.
It's a full-size bus.
Yeah. So does that kind of fit into how you travel? Obviously, working full time, you have to have internet connection, things like that. So are you kind of, do you move once a week? Do you kind of find campsites and maybe stay for a month? Or like, you know, you've been on the road for a while. So what has been kind of the best pace for you guys living on the road full time, working with such a big rig?
Well, typically we like to stay a month at a time. We are always booked out 6 to 8 months in advance. Right now we're booked all the way through April, which I think is about 6 or 7 months. Yep. And like right now we're in the middle of a We did 2 weeks, 2 weeks, and 10 days. So we're in the second 2 weeks. Yeah, which is very, you know, it's like, oh, we're moving again. We're moving again. But then after that, we go to our month and month and month. And we'll be almost over 2 months in one place in Florida in the spring, which will be nice. One, we don't like to move a lot because it's a lot of work to move when you have this big a rig. And two, because we work, if we only spend 2 weeks in a location, we don't really have time
to
do anything. So the month allows us to have to be able to work and to be able also to have time to, you know, check it out, see what's going on.
So much like people that are in a stick and brick, I mean, we're working, you know, 40 hours a week during the week. So we only have the weekends to go out and visit places.
Yeah. So 2 weeks, you don't have much time.
You spend a whole month and you might get 5 weekends, but you actually get to, so maybe 10 days to actually explore that place.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, and we don't, I can't say we do it all that well because we do work probably more than 40 hours.
Yeah, we work more than we should.
But
I think that's just the curse of working for yourself and having your own business is that, you know, it's hard to find that on off switch. And, you know, like we're having this phone call, it's 8 o'clock at night when we're, you know, actually recording it, when the people are listening, that's up to them. But, you know, if this was a regular job, you would schedule it between 9 and 5 and that would be that. And, you know, so there is the flexibility aspect of it where like, you know, we had a bunch of stuff to do today. You did too, probably. So like, you know, whatever. But then it's also the flip side of it is that it's hard to turn it off when you probably should.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm working on that. That's my goal.
Yeah. That is a goal. That's a goal for both of us is to kind of be able to shut it down and live a little more intentionally.
Yes, definitely.
Beautiful.
When it comes back to your jobs, you know, you guys have your own company doing the marketing. What does the marketing look like for you guys? Like, what type of marketing do you guys do, and who are your clients in a roundabout way?
Well, we call it a marketing company for the sake of explanation. But what we really are is a company that helps authors take their books from a written manuscript all the way to Amazon and helps them sell their books once they're on Amazon. So we help self-published authors publish. I do all the creative, like cover design, interior, ebook, things like that. Rich does all the production.
All the production.
And a lot of the marketing that we help authors with, I help a little bit with that too. So it's just an all-inclusive service for authors, either existing authors or first time. We work with a lot of first time authors, which is tons of fun. It's I've been doing graphic design for 31 years and I think 7 or 8 I've been working with authors, and now that's all I do is just authors. It's so rewarding. Some people have written their books for the last 10 years and they're finally getting it out there. Others have written for 20 years. We have quite a few authors that are in their late 70s and 80s. So they're finally getting their books out. And that is just absolutely wonderful to be able to help them with that.
Yeah. And we work with all genres too. So we will work with business owners putting out business books. We'll work with fiction writers, memoir writers. So we will pretty much work with anybody. If you've got a great, compelling story, we want to work with you.
Beautiful. I think that's so cool for our audience to hear because, you know, everybody's always looking for a way to make income on the road. And so you've kind of just laid out two different ways, right? Like on the one side, as the author, you can be earning income from selling your published works. But then on the flip side, helping the author get their works published is another great remote work job that you can also do full time on the road.
Yeah. And there's any graphic designers that might be listening that are looking for something to do on the road. I know that, you know, they may never have thought about the book industry, but I mean, hugely lucrative and tons of work out there. Graphic design is one of those things you can easily do from an RV. I mean, that's one of the other reasons we have a big RV is because I have like a 38-inch monitor. I need a big workspace.
Yeah, we both have size workstations.
Yeah, but you can do it from the road and it's 100% remote. I mean, I can't remember the last time you needed to really, you know, be in person with somebody to do graphic design. It's been 20 years, I think, or more. I think I was remote when I started, sort of on some level. It is a good way to make money on the road for sure. And we've run into a few other RVing full-time RVers that themselves are authors and they're out selling their books as they travel around. So.
Alex is an author. She's written a couple books.
I have a couple of guides on Amazon for sure.
Well, and the van life book that you wrote is more of like, I feel like it's a little bit of both full story and the guide in a sense. So
Frank's always plugging my books for me. I
tend she to never look. Does it, but she should.
It's hard.
The hardest thing for an author to do is promote their own book.
I'm an author and I kind of let my book sit for 2 years because I don't know. That's a whole story in itself, but I'm actually ready to start promoting my book. But it is tough. I mean, it's like anything you do that's creative. It's not just a product you're selling. It's you that you're selling.
Yeah.
And you've got, and that can be scary and very vulnerable to put yourself out there because you want everybody to love you and love your book. But not everybody's going to. And sometimes that's the hardest thing to accept. But that's just the way life is.
I need to get started on my first book. I don't really write, so I'm going to probably do like a talk to text type of thing. But I have like a 71 mountains that I snowboarded in a single season. And it's the most by anybody ever that I know of, that I'm aware of. And we had a really cool journey traveling.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Out of our van doing it, so I would like to write that book, and that was only in 3 months that we did that, so because the season shut down early and whatnot. So yeah, really cool book that I want to write, but I got to get around to writing it.
We work with a lot of editors that help our authors with their books, and I don't know if you know this, but I'll throw it out here, there's also book writing coaches that will actually walk you through the process of writing your book and help you keep it, you know, be organized, decide how you want to structure it and stuff like that. And so if you've never written before, or you don't think you can write, or it's, you know, they can definitely help you. You'd be surprised how easy it is with a little bit of guidance from a coach.
Yeah. And they act as accountability partners too, which is probably the biggest thing that they do. So they keep you on track. If you guys determine a timeline that you want to get your book out, they'll make sure you stay on that timeline.
Yeah. That's very helpful.
Sounds like you've just named another job that people could do remotely.
Yeah, well, editing you could do. Do we have any editors that are, we have one other, somebody else we work with in the industry. He's a full-time RVer too. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff you could do remotely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like the book industry is something that's kind of like untapped. And I think definitely in the last couple of years with the rise of like self-publishing, it's become much more like a equal opportunity kind of place, where before it was like you had to have, you know, a publishing company and you had to, you know, work with the big guys and blah blah blah. But now it's like very much like anybody can write a book and anybody can publish a book, and you know, it's available to anybody. You just have to have the drive and the dedication and the, you know, to sit down and write it and edit it and do all the things and, you know, make it actually happen.
Yeah, it's a ton of work, but if you're committed to it, yes, anybody can put a book on Amazon. It does not even cost anything to put a book on Amazon. So yeah, it's an equal opportunity, that's for sure, which is really wonderful for us.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So what inspired you guys to get into the YouTube game as well?
Well, when the business closed, we were in the gluten-free space, and that's because I'm gluten and dairy-free and have been for almost 17 years. And it meant a lot to me. That was one of the things that was hardest to accept, as we were letting down the gluten-free community. So we felt like we wanted to keep giving back. So before we got on the road the year before that, we started doing the cooking videos, the gluten-free cooking videos. And it's something I've always wanted to do anyways. I thought it would be fun. And Rich loved, we both cook and we both love doing videos. So we started that, and then we kind of folded in our RV.
Into the RV channel. Basically it morphed into the RV channel when we started shopping for rigs and started the process of paring down the house, getting rid of the house, packing things up. It was really kind of a how-to. While we were doing the process, it was a how-to of how to get on the road.
Yeah, and then now we've kind of pivoted back to more cooking. So and a little bit of RV stuff, because it's just it can be too much to you know, have a camera in our hands all the time going, oh, this would be good for the video. That'd be good, you know, or that's not good for the video. Don't put that in the video. But so the cooking stuff is, and that's where our passion really is we love to cook and we love to share recipes with people. And we're going to do some more RV content because we're going to the Hershey RV show next week. So give us some content we should probably share.
Nice. As you've been traveling, have you found it easy or hard to kind of stick with the gluten-free lifestyle? Obviously, there's grocery stores everywhere, and I'm sure there's different food options. But, like, you know, it looks like you guys have been having fun kind of finding these different restaurants and things. And so has it been enjoyable? Has it been hard, like, keeping to your diet?
It's not hard because I've done it for so long, and it's and I have to. I mean, I'm just not well if I don't. So I never cheat. I'm past that point. But what I eat is determined by what I can find in the grocery stores to some extent. We cook probably 95% of everything we eat. We don't eat a lot of, you know, no packaged foods hardly at all, unless you count pasta, dried pasta. So we bake a lot of the stuff that we eat as well as gluten-free. But then the dairy-free side, there's quite a few things I do like dairy-free, you know, sour cream and, you know, stuff like that. And those are hard to find as you travel throughout the country. So when we know we're going to an area, we're not sure about the grocery stores, we'll stock up on those things. It's probably a handful. We say 5 or 7 products that we stock up on before we leave a more populated area, just in case, which usually turns out that was a good idea to do. So
for that 5% of the time where you have eaten out, where has been like the best gluten-free food, and like what was it?
We don't typically seek out gluten-free food per se. What we've learned along the way, and much of what we learned is because we worked with restaurants so closely when we had that business in Denver. If you go to any fine dining restaurant where they're farm to table, you know, scratch made, nearly anything on the menu can be made gluten and dairy free. Because the chefs are, you know, they come back and say, hey, we got this person. Can you take this off or that off? They're usually very accommodating. So we kind of try to stay those types of restaurants. So that way I don't have to go, you know, pulling up a gluten-free app to find out where to eat gluten-free. Because typically I won't eat the pizza, I won't eat buns, stuff like that, because I make my own and it's usually better. So it's more fine dining. We do a lot of drinking and appetizing because that makes it easier too. You just go to a bar, have a drink and get a couple appies. And most of the time that's easier. But we don't seek out gluten-free type comfort foods or anything like that. And then Rich doesn't have any food restrictions. So one of the things we love to do, and we've done this in quite a few of our last videos, is one example was the Michigan is known for a olive burger, which most people don't know that. I didn't know that. And so we had to seek out the olive burger, but I couldn't eat the olive burger. So Rich had to sample all the olive burgers. It was a terrible thing. And then I did look at them and smell them. And so then we came back
we
created our own so that I could eat it. So it was on our gluten-free bun and stuff like that. And we do that quite a bit. We started doing that about 6 months ago, and I think we're going to do more of it because it's really fun.
Yeah, because then you kind of almost get the best of both worlds. Like Rich gets to try all the local delicacies, and then you get to have your gluten-free version of it. And then you're showing people that like you can make these delicious foods yourself and even out of an RV.
Oh yeah, right. Definitely. Yeah. And the added challenge of trying to recreate something from a restaurant, with one for me without eating it, and two, even with eating it, sometimes it's difficult to figure out, okay, what ingredients are going on there. So it's the ultimate challenge. So yeah, we're definitely loving doing that.
Super fun.
Yeah, it's really unique. I feel like I think I love the concept of the, you know, try something and see if you could recreate it, because I feel like that in itself, like even if you took one home with you and then you kind of like compared deconstructed and compared the one you made compared to the one that they made, and then you could really see like the subtle differences possibly, or if they look exactly the same.
Yeah. And then sometimes
another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You go to a restaurant and you like it and go, oh my God, this is really, really good. But what if it had this or what if it had that? Mm-hmm. And so then you can make it how you want to make it. There's this one recipe I've been chasing for a long time. I grew up in Florida, in the Tarpon Springs area. I don't know if you've ever been down there. They have a huge Greek population in Tarpon Springs. It's pretty much almost all Greek. And I grew up with Greek salad. And I didn't know this until I much later in life and started eating Greek salads around the country, is there is not a delicious pile of potato salad at the bottom of every Greek salad around the country. It doesn't exist anywhere but Tarpon Springs. And I am a potato salad fiend. I loved it. I could eat it all day, every day. And so we were there last year because I hadn't had it in 30 years. And so I think I almost have it recreated at this one restaurant that it's my favorite. But we're going back next year because I need more research.
You must have been so disappointed the first time you got a Greek salad somewhere else and you were like digging to get to the bottom and there was nothing there and you were like,
I think it was in Detroit. There's a huge Greek population in Detroit and we found a great place and you're like, where's the potato salad at the bottom of the Greek salad? I'm like, that's not a thing outside of
No, I should have known better. And then I went and I Googled and the restaurant that was famous in Tarpon Springs actually created that potato salad, add it to a Greek salad way back in the day, but didn't do my research, but now I know. And so I'm working on that. And when I perfect that'll be a video I will be very happy to get out. And then we also in Detroit went to this amazing Mediterranean restaurant and they had a terrific tahini sauce and a tabbouleh. And so I'm going to be working on recreating that. But I have to recreate that from memory. So, and your memory, because you ate some too. Yeah. So we'll see how that goes.
Well, we're excited to see the videos on that. And then we can recreate it ourselves because you're making me hungry just imagining all these delicious dishes.
And we just got done with dinner. So that's pretty good.
So let me take you guys back a little bit. You mentioned that you had kind of committed and made this decision to move into the RV and then spent 2 years, you know, waiting for your son to graduate high school and putting all your ducks in a row and things like that. So if anybody was kind of listening to the podcast who's in this position where they're planning and they're prepping and they're, you know, deciding what they're going to do or how they're going to get on the road, what were the steps that you guys took that you found were really helpful in kind of getting yourselves prepped to go full time?
I'm off of losing the business. I still had Rich wasn't even working in the marketing business at that time, but I still had it. I was doing both. And so we had to rebuild that business back from what it was before the gluten-free business. So that was partly the 2 year. I think didn't Dawson graduate in 21, right?
Yeah.
So he graduated in 21. So, I mean, theoretically, I guess we could have left in 21, but then again, it was COVID. So I guess not a good time to start a new endeavor like this. But I think that looking back, wouldn't you say it was 2 years was a good amount of time to really think about how we were going to live. We didn't want to rush into this. Because I probably should state this, that prior to April of 2022, I have never traveled in an RV.
Been in an RV
other than I did a couple tours of an RV. I never really went camping. I'd never stayed at a campground. I didn't know anything. I just knew I would like it. And I had 2 years to really think about it. I could have backed out, I guess. But and then, you know, Rich told me a lot about his life when he did it. We watched a lot of YouTube videos. But we did everything really, really slowly, because I think if we had crammed everything that we had to do in a year, it might have been overwhelming.
It would have been overwhelming. For
yeah,
sure.
Because it's a lot of change. You know, you're going from about 2,400 square feet to 400 square feet. You have all this stuff, and we prided ourselves on not being pack rats and having much stuff. But when you've got to go through all those crates you've been saving,
much stuff we actually had.
It was a lot of stuff, and I think it's a process of letting go and convincing yourself, or, you know, reimagining what your life looks like, that you don't need all these things. And then once you start throwing stuff away, at least for me, I was...
Then it becomes easy.
Yeah, I was just throwing stuff away, like, willy-nilly, I didn't care. And then right before we left, my mom's like, you know that stuff I gave you, all the will information? I'm like, yeah, I think. Yeah, threw it away. Sorry. So I threw away the important stuff, too. So luckily, it was all online. She could reprint it.
So but... I think the bottom line is you really have to think about, one, how you live, two, what you have, and then three, what happens on the other side. So if you plan, like for us, we got together later in life, between the two of us, we had a mishmash of things. So there wasn't a lot of things that were really important to us. If you're someone who your stuff's important to you and you know you're only going to be on the road for a couple of years, then maybe a storage unit is right for you and you want to save those things. For us, for our situation, it really wasn't. But I think you need to take a good hard look at the beginning, being on the road, and then what happens when you come off the road too, is you have to be really intentional about all three of those pieces.
Kind of got to set yourself up for that. We do have a storage unit. We don't have a big one. We have a small one.
But a very small amount of stuff that we actually kept.
Yes. And now there's probably more of my paintings in the storage unit than anything else. And there were things that we brought with us. And after a year, we purged.
You didn't need.
Yeah, we purged again. So we thought, oh, we're going to use this. We're going to use that. It wasn't a ton of stuff, but, it's like we didn't need it. So we left that back in the storage. So I think a storage unit, I don't see how you cannot have a storage unit, because you're always going to have childhood mementos or mementos from your children, photos, stuff like that. That usually will go in a storage unit. But there's no furniture. We have one glass sofa table. That's it. That's the only furniture we saved. Everything else is just stuff and a bicycle and other stuff like that.
Just minor stuff that we kept.
Yeah.
Well, very nicely done on that. We totally understand what it takes to downsize. It is not easy the first time you're doing it, because you're just not used to decluttering. And I feel like everything has a meaning, even like the cord for me. It was like the cords, they all had meaning to me. And it was so hard to just like release those things. So kudos to that. Rich, the first time you were traveling, were you traveling solo?
No, I was with another spouse, a different spouse at the time.
Not another spouse. Yeah,
not another spouse, one, a different one. And that trip was very intentional too, because it was designed to only last 2 years, and the end goal was to figure out a place to live other than the Metro Detroit area of Michigan. So we kept everything, and everything was put in storage. So we basically had a 2,400 square foot house in storage waiting while we traveled on the road. And then we found our place in Denver, decided to land, had the moving truck move everything over to Denver, and then life went on from there. I think it's wrong to say to people, just go and figure it out. I think you'll have a more successful beginning during your trip and after your trip if you're really intentional about what you're doing, why you're out on the road, and then what your plans are when you land.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And the other thing we always tell people when you're thinking about doing this, it worked for us. I'm going to say it's going to work for everybody, but something we did is we did a lot of visualizing what our life on the road was going to look like. So when we had a really good idea, we did have a good idea toward the end of 21, which rig we were getting. And so we knew the layout. Yeah, I had it etched to memory. And we would both just imagine, daydream and imagine in a day. It's like, okay, I'm going to work here. What's that going to look like? Okay, I got to get up and go to the refrigerator and get something to drink. And so I just visualize myself going through the rig, the entire day. I wake up in the morning, I go to bed at night. And for me and for Rich did the same thing. It felt good. And then when we were deciding on our rigs, we would do that with each rig and really break down, how are we going to live in this rig?
Yeah, I think the RV people thought we were crazy, because we would literally go there and just sit in a rig for 15 or 20 minutes and just kind of sit there. Visualize our days and what we were doing. And I think they looked at us going, these people are crazy.
Yeah, but it helped us to decide, because there was a couple different rigs. We looked at a toy hauler because of the ability to have offices in the back. And we had to really think that through. And we're so happy we didn't go in that direction, because right now we're in the same room, because for the most part, an RV is all one big room, except for the bathroom and the bedroom. And so we can't both be on Zoom calls at the same time because it's too loud, both for the Zoom call and for us. And so if we had done the toy hauler, it would have been even worse because we would have been right next to each other. So even a phone call or it wouldn't have worked. So what we have now, we're split up. He's in the upper level because you walk up to the kitchen and walk down to the living room, and I'm in the lower level. So at least we have different levels.
Yeah, and I will say that, like, that guy that was probably judging you, thinking that you're nuts before you were buying it, I think he's in the wrong, if anything, because the people that were buying it were just going, looking in and going, yep, this is perfect.
Or, oh, I like the colors.
Yeah,
exactly. Like,
oh, that's a nice looking couch.
You know,
they're the ones making the wrong decision because they're not really being intentional, you know, with their decision because they're not visualizing or thinking about how they would live in it. Like, one of the things that we say to a lot of people, like, you really don't know how you're going to live in an RV space mostly until you actually do it, right? At least once. After that, then you normally change your build or whatever it is to the way you operate. And especially as a couple, you know, you're going to operate much differently than if you're by yourself. So the layout of your rig or of the place that you're going to live in has to be, you know, intentional for the way that you guys are going to work around each other. So, like, we knew for our rig, the last one, that Alex does a ton of cooking. So Alex needed to have the physical space in the kitchen for me to be able to still walk by her and be able to get to the other side of the rig and get out of the rig and this and that while she's cooking. So we made sure that our space was wide enough to fit more than a yoga mat in the middle, so that way we could easily walk by one another. But, like, that's an intentional thought on how we built it, so that way we could have the best living situation possible in such a tiny little space.
But I will say that most people go into their first rig just with, like, the rose colored glasses of, like, this is nice, or, like, this should work, or, you know,
Instagram.
This will be great in the photos. But I think what's more important, like, I love the idea of visualizing yourself in the space. And that's why we tell people too, like, when you're building your own van, you know, tape it out in your living room, tape it out on the floor, look at the layout, look at the floor plan, pretend you're in it, like,
stand down
at your sink, pretend you're washing dishes, go sit in the fake chair. And, like, how is this going to be to work? What would you need around you? Would you need a plug? Would you need a USB? Where is the, you know, router going to be for your internet? Like, there's so many little minute details in these things that if you don't think about it, and I love the idea of, like, visualizing living the day from, like, when you wake up to when you go to bed, because then you can really think about, okay, what would make me happy when I'm making my coffee in the morning, to how am I going to do my nighttime routine and get ready for bed, you know? So you can really find a space that's, like, perfect for you and your lifestyle.
Yeah, I almost feel like that's even more critical in a van situation, because typically you have to put your bed up to be able to cook or to, you know, stow things away or to put your table up to work or things. So it feels like it'd be even more critical than being in a larger rig like we are.
Mm-hmm. Yes, correct.
But, like, with your rig, I mean, they're all, you know, an expense and your invest thing, but I would venture to bet that, like, you know, like a big RV like you have plus a truck and blah, blah, blah would probably cost more than what somebody who's, you know, building out their own RV or, like, you know, camper van would be. So to go into one of these RV dealers with reckless abandon and, you know, basically buy a house on wheels for the same cost as, like, a mortgage, and then to not like it, that's a huge problem.
Yeah.
Well, it is, and it's a depreciating asset. So you roll it off the lot. 6 months later, you decide you don't like it and you want to get another one. How much you in the hole for? And that's something we saw as we were watching YouTube, RV channels on YouTube or in the buildup, is there were two or three channels where they got a rig, they got on the road, and less than a year later, they're getting a new rig. So we were that made us be even more intentional because we didn't want to do that. One, that seems very disruptive. Two, it seems very expensive. And so we're happy that, I mean, I every day I look around, it's like there's nothing.
There's nothing we'd change.
Nothing we would change whatsoever. Yeah.
And that seems to go kind of both directions too. Like we've seen YouTube channels where the people bought these gigantic RVs and then they found out they were afraid to drive them. We saw people that bought Class Bs thinking, you know, oh, I'll be mobile and, you know, be able to go and pick up and do anything and go like, oh my God, this is too small. I can't do this. So I've seen it in every direction, people making the wrong decisions.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that it's always going to be foolproof, but the more, you know, the more intentional you can be, obviously the better.
Yeah, totally agree. So if there's any advice that you could give to the people out there on the road, give me some advice that you would give to, say, yourselves before you were going to get into this lifestyle.
Better like bugs.
Yeah.
Because they're everywhere. Strange bugs you've never seen before. What would you say? That's probably my biggest one, just like bugs. And like, and you can't be afraid of people, because depending on where you stay, you could be right next to your neighbor, or you could have some space. So if you're not used to that, that can be kind of shocking, especially on a big weekend. If you're in a weekender park and you're sitting outside and everybody's like cornered up to each other, so you're basically, you know, hanging out with everybody else's family. So better like people, that's for sure.
Yeah. And one piece of advice I would give people is for sure plan ahead. The days of kind of being adventurous and just being able to wing it, those days are really tough. I think, you know, we don't boondock personally. We, you know, because we're staying in full hookup campgrounds, but even boondocking is getting more difficult now because places are filling up with people and things like that. So you really kind of have to plan your adventure out further than you think you do.
Yeah. And you bring up a good point about boondocking. When we were planning this, we were like, okay, we're getting solar. Definitely. We're getting solar. And then we thought about it as it got closer, and I guess we did the visualization of the boondocking, and we're like, we're never boondocking. We don't need any solar. I mean, that would have been such a huge mistake, expensive mistake for us to get solar. I mean, granted, yeah, we have a residential fridge. We would like to be able to go more than 24 hours without having to plug in for, you know, for it to keep running. So, you know, some small amount of solar might be nice, but boy, if we had gotten a solar system, we wouldn't have used it, because we've really stayed out east more. We went back to Colorado a couple times, but there's not a lot of, there's boondocking out here, but it's not like boondocking out in the West.
BLM land.
Yeah. So I'm glad we didn't do that. And I think that we went through this rash of watching a ton of RV channels getting their solar system. We're like, oh my God, look at that. It's that great. And so I think sometimes people may think you have to have solar, and if you're not boondocking, you don't need solar.
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah. Really, the solar is specifically for being off grid. If like you don't want to have to hook up to, you know, a electrical hookup or a water hookup, you're going to need bigger tanks and you're going to need more batteries and more solar if you want to have that type of situation. But for you guys, it really feels like the best situation is the RV park, because of the amount of rig that you have, you know, between the truck and the rig, you know. And I feel like even for myself, if I had that specific style of rig, that's probably where I'd feel a lot more comfortable.
Myself. Especially on the East Coast. Because like you said, finding those free boondocking sites, even in a camper, like in our ProMaster, it's hard to find like real legit boondocking spots on the East Coast. We spend a lot of time at like Walmarts and Cracker Barrels and stuff like that. So it's just a different vibe, West Coast versus East Coast. So
if you're
going to be RVing on the East Coast, you really have to plan ahead, like you said. And so thinking about that, do you guys have any like tried and true rules for staying in RV parks as people who have done it for a while? Is there anything that you kind of are like, rules that you live by when you stay at RV parks, or rules that you wish other people would adhere to when they're staying at the RV park next to you?
Those rules would be for other people.
Yeah.
Perfect. We want to hear them.
Yeah. Well, I will say that for the most part, people are good. I think dogs would be the biggest thing. We are absolute dog lovers. We had an old guy we thought was going to come on the road with us, but he passed away before we left, which was very sad.
Right before we left.
Yeah. But we love dogs. But we do not love when you leave your dog in your RV and you go somewhere and that dog barks all day.
All day. Yep.
And then if you leave your dog outside tethered to a picnic table with a 6-foot leash and you just ignore them for 3 hours and, you know, things like that, very annoying for us. And we see it far too often. And I think we see it more in weekenders than we do, you know, full timers or part timers,
right?
Because they had to bring the dog along, you know. The other thing would be personal space when it comes to your campsite. You do not walk through. You just don't walk through the middle of a campsite and think that's okay. Mm-hmm. You got any other ones?
No, I think the one thing that was shocking for us, and this was a bit of adjustment because we are working during the week, you know, when anybody else in the campground is on vacation. So I guess we have to check ourselves. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we have to be okay with people making noise and kids running around, because the campground we came to work at, folks came to vacation to at. Yeah. So that was the one area we had to check ourselves, was saying, okay, we're working. There's going to be some noise outside because people here are vacationing. They're not working and living like we are.
Yeah. And so that was a bit of an adjustment, but we have double pane windows and air conditioning, so we're okay.
Yeah. So we're fine.
But I mean, it's great that you at least have that understanding of, oh, wait, you know, they're all vacationing and I'm the one here working.
Like, even though it's Monday.
Because a lot of people might get upset and want to like pop out their window and be like, shut up, you know, like, but that's, you know, you're at that point, you're in the wrong. You know what I mean? Like if it was a different situation where there was like one person party, you know, and then you're like, all right, everybody's mad at you, man. Like calm down, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really good awareness.
Yeah. We understand everybody's here having fun. We stay in what seems to be a lot of weekender parks. I don't know how we plan this. So they're very quiet during the week, which I think most RV parks are like this. So we get a lot of time during the week where it's very quiet. Mm-hmm. And then on the weekends, it's just like places packed. And right. So that works out well for us.
Well, and then on the weekends, you're taking the truck going adventuring and whatever. And, you know, it is what it is. And maybe it's a good reminder to be like, I shouldn't be working today.
Yeah.
I should be having fun like these other people who can remind me that it is the weekend.
It's time to get from the RV.
You mentioned a couple of times like having a beginning, middle, and end of like your van life and planning for that. So we haven't heard, what's your end of van life plan?
We do have a plan. We left Colorado.
We have a plan. We don't have a time frame. I think is a fair assessment. We have a plan, but we don't have a time frame for it.
When we do land, we'll be landing in Michigan outside of Detroit. We moved our residence there this year. Matter of fact, we moved my parents there. So wherever my mom is, that's where our address is. So they are there. His mom is there, the rest of his family. So we will be going to the Detroit area when we land, but we don't know when that's going to be yet. Could be 2 years. It could be three. We're going to wait till we know we're going to wake up one day. We're going to both look at each other and go, okay, I'm ready. I'm done. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So whenever that day happens. And we will just, I don't know what we're going to do house-wise. I don't know if I could live in a big house anymore.
Yeah, for sure.
We're trying to find
a park that wherever you're going.
What?
You could just park that wherever you're going and still live out of it.
We've actually talked about that.
Yeah, but that's kind of hard in winter. Yeah. I don't know if I'd want to live in this through a Michigan winter. Oh, I don't know.
Well, if you got the right type of heating, you might be able to do it.
We
exclusively camped like in the first 3 months of our living in a van. We exclusively camped in the winter. And we've
done winter pretty much every year except last year when we went to Central America.
And we still did a little bit of winter.
We found Utah. So it is very possible for sure. And especially with everything that you guys have, like the fireplace, you got a heater.
The only time it got cold in the van was
it was -30 outside. -30 Fahrenheit.
I think it was -35, and that night was cool, like in the van.
The heater was going, but it couldn't get over 60 because it was just like
it was like hanging at 60 overnight, which is fine to sleep in
with all your blankets and your cozy socks and things.
But through the day, you don't want that. You know what I mean? And during the day, the temperature would come up to about 72 in the van, so it was really comfortable. but it was just the nighttime got really, really cold. So I'm sure there's many different things you could install or put in to like help out, especially if you're hooked up to like a 50 amp, you know, power.
Oh, yeah. Right.
I mean, they have great AC systems, like the split units that you could put in. And you can run that off of a lot less electricity than if it was like a, you know, a specific, a different type of heater. So something to think about.
Well, thanks for that. We may have to do some research because I wouldn't mind staying in Howie for a long time.
For sure.
So
now you're going to be watching all the winter RV van.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'll be doing.
It's another research phase. We love it. Thank you guys so much for being on the show. It's really been a pleasure chatting with you.
What an awesome conversation with these guys. I always find it so interesting just to see how other people do it. Yeah, they're not boondockers like we are, but, you know, it's another way of just living life on the road.
Yeah, and I don't think that you have to be a boondocker to be, you know, living life on the road. It's just whatever it's going to make you feel comfortable and enjoy your travels, because that's really what it's all about. It doesn't matter what everybody else is doing or what all the cool kids are doing. If this is how you picture your life on the road, then that's perfect.
Yeah, I mean, even like for us, I think that having the baby, we might wind up spending a little bit more time in campgrounds and stuff too as well, just for the simple aspect of being able to clean those diapers.
Yeah, like laundry, even just like unlimited water, like things that, you know, for two people on the road, plus a dog who really doesn't require very much, it's been pretty easy to be off-grid almost all of the time because, you know, we fill up water once every 2 weeks about, unlimited electricity from the solar panels, you know, laundry once a month maybe.
Yeah, yeah. We're really fortunate for having to do it, doing it the way we do it and being, like, so minimal with it. And the other good thing is, like, since you're breastfeeding and stuff, we don't need like extra water for the baby so much.
Yeah, or just like maybe to like clean, to sterilize the bottles and things like that. I'm definitely drinking a lot more water just generally. But like, I think the biggest thing for us right now is probably just like the laundry aspect of it. Like, could we get a laundry machine into our next build?
It depends on how big it is, I think.
Yeah, I mean, they obviously sell like RV-sized ones that are like the washer-dryer combo in one. But then you need the electricity to be able to run that. So, you know, you could hand wash everything, but it's, you know, it's like water and then where are you going to hang it to dry? And
well, personally, I also been thinking about like creating a luxury styled, you know, bus or box truck or whatever it is that we decide to build. So I was thinking about going a little bit beefier on that electric system, you know, being able to fit enough panels to really live life off grid with a baby. I think that would be kind of cool to challenge ourselves and get there, but also have the luxuries that we never had on the road. We never had like real luxury air conditioning. We never had those experiences of that. So I wonder how that would feel for us and if it would feel even more relaxed than what it was, especially with the baby. I want to try to make our lives as easy as possible now.
Yeah, I mean, if we could get the kind of setup that Rich and Victoria have in a completely off grid, I mean, we don't need a fireplace. I'll say that much, but, you know, it would be nice.
It would. I will say, too, that our rig is definitely going to be smaller because we do want to be able to park in those, like, you know, parking lot spots.
Well, and be mobile. I think the thing for us, when we see our friends who have the big buses, well, A, it comes with the big price tag of your gas tank, so that's why they don't normally move very often. But then it also comes with the added expense of usually some kind of a tow vehicle. Mm-hmm. So now you're paying for two vehicles, you know, your home and then also a vehicle. You're paying for gas for both or you're towing the one. It gets a lot more expensive to have the big bus with the car. And I don't know. I don't know if that's the kind of way that we would want to travel, because those people tend to like go to a campsite and then stay there for like a month.
And also you want to think a little bit, you know, the bigger the bus, the more the money, you know, not only to renovate it, but also to fix things if you have to fix it, you know? So if you get a little bit smaller of a bus, it might still be kind of as expensive as a van and so on and so forth. So you really got to think about all the different aspects to it. The one great thing we have going for us is there's nothing that I'm not willing to take on when it comes to fixing. I mean, obviously, I dropped a whole new engine into a car, which is kind of mind-blowing still to me. I can't believe I did that, and it worked, and it runs well. So, yeah. You know, there's a way to get it done.
Well, now we're just procrastinating on everything because we got the van back and we haven't touched it since we got it back from the welder, which took a real long time. But now with the baby here, it's a lot harder to find time to work. We're really just kind of settling into life with the baby and the wake ups and the breastfeeding and feeding ourselves. And then by the time that we've done all that, the day is half gone and then you're exhausted. And so I don't know, we're just kind of like catching our feet, but there's still a lot of work left to do on the Sun Raider.
Yeah, and we're so happy that we get to talk to everybody on these podcasts and give you guys information. You know, it means a lot to us to be able to speak to you guys. Let us know what it means to you. You can leave a review. A 5-star review would be excellent. It helps the podcast grow, and it allows us to continue to keep doing this. And we're so grateful that we get to do this for a living and talk to you guys and help you on the road. And if there's any questions that you have, please let us know. You can hit us up on Instagram. You go check out our YouTube channel. Maybe we've already answered it for you guys. And we just want to say thank you so much, and we love you all for listening.
Yeah, and we hope that you all have an FNA day.
Everybody knows it's true. Van life, YouTube channel, what they do. Everybody's got to get money. Everybody's about to get money. Make sure you subscribe to their YouTube channel, FNA Van Life. All that.